Learning the truth has become my life's love, Teabing said as they entered his enormous study, and the Sangreal is my favorite mistress.
The Holy Grail is a woman, Sophie thought. You said you have a picture of this woman who you claim is the Holy Grail?
Yes, but it is not I who claim she is the Grail. Christ himself made that claim.
Which one is the painting? Sophie asked, scanning the walls.
Teabing pointed to the far wall. On it hung an 8-foot-long print of the Last Supper, the same image Sophie had just been looking at.
There she is. But that's the same painting you just showed me.
He winked. I know,
but the enlargement is so much more exciting. Hold on, Sophie said. You told me the Holy Grail is a woman. The Last Supper is a painting of 13 men.
Is it? Teabing arched his eyebrows.
Take a closer look at the one seated in the place of honor, at the right hand of the Lord.
Sophie examined the figure to Jesus' immediate right, focusing in. As she studied the person's face and body, a wave of astonishment rose within her. The individual had flowing red hair, delicate folded hands, and the hint of a bosom. It was, without doubt, female.
That's a woman, Sophie exclaimed.
Teabing was laughing.
Surprise, surprise.
Sophie could not tear her eyes from the woman beside Christ.
The Last Supper is supposed to be 13 men. Who is this woman?
Sophie moved closer to the image. The woman to Jesus' right was young and pious-looking, with a demure face, beautiful red hair, and hands folded quietly.
Who is she? Sophie asked.
That, my dear, Teabing replied, is Mary Magdalene. Sophie turned.
The prostitute?
Teabing drew a short breath, as if the word had injured him personally. Magdalene was no such thing. That unfortunate misconception is the legacy of a smear campaign launched by the early church. The church needed to defame Mary Magdalene in order to cover up her dangerous secret, her role as the Holy Grail.
Her role?
As I mentioned, Teabing clarified, the early church needed to convince the world that the mortal prophet Jesus was a divine being. Therefore, any gospels that described earthly aspects of Jesus' life had to be omitted from the Bible. Unfortunately for the early editors, one particularly troubling earthly theme kept recurring in the gospels. Mary Magdalene, he paused. More specifically, her marriage to Jesus Christ.
I beg your pardon?
It's a matter of historical record, Teabing said. And Da Vinci was certainly aware of that fact. The Last Supper practically shouts at the viewer that Jesus and Magdalene were a pair. Notice that Jesus and Magdalene are clothed as mirror images of one another. Also note that if you view Jesus and Magdalene as compositional elements rather than as people, you will see another obvious shape leap out at you. He paused. A letter of the alphabet. Sophie saw it at once. To say the letter leapt out at her was an understatement. The letter was suddenly all Sophie could see. Glaring in the center of the painting was the unquestionable outline of an enormous, flawlessly formed letter M.
A bit too perfect for coincidence, wouldn't you say?
Teabing asked. Sophie was amazed.
Why is it there?
Teabing shrugged. Conspiracy theorists will tell you it stands for matrimonio or Mary Magdalene. To be honest, nobody is certain. The only certainty is that the hidden M is no mistake. And as I said earlier, the marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene is part of the historical record. He began pawing through his book collection. Moreover, Jesus as a married man makes infinitely more sense than our standard biblical view of Jesus as a bachelor.
Why?
Sophie asked. Because Jesus was a Jew, Langdon said. And the social decorum during that time virtually forbid a Jewish man to be unmarried. According to Jewish custom, celibacy was condemned, and the obligation for a Jewish father was to find a suitable wife for his son. If Jesus were not married, at least one of the Bible's Gospels would have mentioned it and offered some explanation for his unnatural state of bachelorhood. Sophie was starting to feel overwhelmed.
I'm sorry, I still don't understand how all of this makes Mary Magdalene the Holy Grail.
Aha! Teabing exclaimed again. Therein lies the rub.
He turned to a table and pulled out a large chart, spreading it out for her. It was an elaborate genealogy.
Few people realize that Mary Magdalene, in addition to being Christ's right hand,
was a powerful woman already. Sophie could now see the title of the family tree, the tribe of Benjamin. Mary Magdalene is here, Teabing said, pointing near the top of the genealogy. Sophie was surprised.
She was of the house of Benjamin?
Indeed, Teabing said. Mary Magdalene was of royal descent.
But what does this have to do with Mary Magdalene and the Holy Grail?
Teabing looked excited now.
The legend of the Holy Grail is a legend about royal blood. When Grail legend speaks of the chalice that held the blood of Christ, it speaks, in fact, of Mary Magdalene, the female womb that carried Jesus' royal bloodline.
The words seemed to echo across the ballroom and back before they fully registered in Sophie's mind.
Mary Magdalene carried the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ? But how could Christ have a bloodline unless...
She paused and looked at Langdon. Langdon smiled softly. Unless they had a child. Sophie stood transfixed.
Behold, Teabing proclaimed, the greatest cover-up in human history. Not only was Jesus Christ married, but he was a father. My dear, Mary Magdalene was the holy vessel. She was the chalice that bore the royal bloodline of Jesus Christ.
And the Sangreal documents, Sophie said, they allegedly contain proof that Jesus had a bloodline?
They do.
So the entire Holy Grail legend is all about royal blood?
Quite literally, Teabing said. The word Sangreal derives from Sangreal, or Holy Grail. But in its most ancient form, the word Sangreal was broken in a different spot. Teabing wrote on a piece of scrap paper and handed it to her. She read what he had written. Sangreal. Instantly, Sophie recognized the translation. Sangreal literally meant royal blood.